All right.
Or coffee.
So, can you tell me your name, your address, and your date of birth, please?
Right. I'm Mrs. Margaret Gerrish, and I was born in the 5th of the 5th, 31.
So tell me a little bit about your background, you know, where you were born, where you were brought up, and something about your parents, you know, what they did for a living, that kind of thing.
How can I...
So where were you born?
Born in Rummy.
Right.
Not Rummy, Cardiff, Rummy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was one of 6 that lived, but I think there was a couple more. But I don't know about them. And I was brought up between my mother, a father and grandparents, and also Italians, because they used to have a fish and chip shop. So really, if anywhere would have me, I'd go to the fish and chip shop. And that was lovely. And then the daughter of the fish and chip shop had a cafe next door, so a lot of the times I'd go in there and help them. I think I couldn't have been more than 4, and I used to love it because I used to be able to clean, do the floor, always things like that. Always wanted to be busy doing and cleaning.
Do you remember what they were called?
Yes. The daughter's name was Rosie Busy, but when she married, she was Mrs. Monk.
Right.
And Les was her husband.
Right.
And
what was the Italian name, did you say?
Busy.
Busy?
Yeah.
Right.
I tried to find out a bit about it, but I want to know so much now, and it's, you know... I'm not well enough to do it then, but I'd love somebody to come and help me to do it all. And the Busies, it was Mam Busy, as I called them, and Dad, and Uncle Lau and Tony, the family, and they helped to look after me while I didn't know my mother was ill then. She had pernicious anaemia, and she was always in hospital, Cardiff Infirmary, and we used to go down and see her on a Saturday, and then we'd go to, I'm going right off it now, because I want to keep it all to Rummy at that particular time, because my cousin was born the same day as me. She died a few months old, and then that family had 2 boys as well. They sort of spoiled me as well, because I was born and always kept in touch. So there was lovely family life for me, because I was going from one home to the other.
Right. But your mum was ill from a very
in her 40s.
She was in her 40s and you were a very young child.
Yes,
you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, she died in 47.
Yes.
And I was just leaving school then, I think.
Right.
But I mean, for all those years, I think that's all we'd done. It was aunties coming down to help out, which I thought was family life. But they were showing me what to do. And my mother's sister was a cook in what's the one that done the thing now in Newport. She was a cook there because it used to be a nursing home, Celtic Manor.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Then she was a cook in Eton College, and she was a cook the first lot she was a cook in Rummy Hospital.
Right.
And I used to go up there as a child on the train, and then I'd have food up there with them and the nurses.
Yeah. So what did your father do then?
Well, my father was a staunch unionist.
And where did he work?
Elliot's pit. But in 19, it was hard going for him. Now when I look back, it was really a tough time because he had 6 children to handle, and he was, well, I think they marched up to London in those days, and he was, the union was doing something to get fair pay, is it? Well, in 1947, they won the day. He was one of the first I got papers to say to start the Knackers Union. And then that year, my mother died also. So it was a rough, that was in 1947. It was a rough year. But with all that, he, in between that time, my sisters and brothers got married, except one, because he was a bachelor. But he went to, I don't know, I'm still investigating. He used to come home, and I didn't know where he had come from, but he was always come home, and he always looked lovely, and the man who brought him home was, well, he was really a gentleman sort of thing, and always bought a big box of Black Magic chocolates for my dad, for my mum. And then they'd sort of take him back. Well, to me, it was just as if he was going back to work, as I thought. But of course, he had done something when he was young, like stole something from one of the family's houses. Not money. My cousin told me, and just before she died, really, that it was their house, and he took a last for shoes. And my dad always looked after our shoes. He'd take the one side off and put it on the other side so that we'd walk evenly. And I think he couldn't handle the illness my mother had, the 6 children, and all the worry. And he was a collier in those days, because my grandfather had a small holding up in Remy. Not a small holding.
Your father's father now?
Yeah, no, my mother's father.
Your mother's father.
Yeah.
Right.
And they came from Carmarthen, I can't remember it all. I got it down somewhere.
Yeah.
And, of course, they were all colliers anyway. His own level. He had a level, coal level up in Rumney.
Right.
It's well documented that a lot of the family have done things for it. And then, of course, we moved down to New Tredegar because he had a job down there in the pits. Because I think my grandfather's mine went collapsed anyway, the business collapsed. Anyway, we came down to New Tredegar, and I was in primary school, so I must have been only about 3 or 4 then.
Well, tell me about your education now, because I was going to ask you about that. Where did you go to school then?
I did go to New Tredegar school, started in the small children primary school, and we lived in Greenfield, and Dad was always doing something for the unions, and I think that was in the 30s really. And then he must have had a promotion, and he was overman, and we moved over to not a better house, but we moved like across the river. And that was like Mon, and this was Glamorgan.
Oh, right.
So I went to Turf Hill School then.
And this was still a kind of junior school, was it? Primary school?
Yes, first of all.
Yeah.
Then I went into the junior school then, there.
Yes.
And I loved school.
So Turf Hill, was that like a secondary school
no,
as well?
No,
no.
No,
just
ordinary school.
2-11.
Yeah,
was
you
it?
Had to do the 11 plus or whatever.
Right,
then.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. So I was interested in school. I loved people telling me a story, or I wanted to know everything. But I wasn't good at putting pen to paper even then. I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to listen. And I used to be, well, the first one in school, because the monitor used to live next door to me, and she used to take me. We'd be the first people there every morning, and I just loved it. Then, of course, I'd come home from school, and perhaps my aunties would be there doing things in the house for my mum, if she wasn't there, because she'd be in hospital. And then I used to lose my temper, because I didn't want them telling me to do all these things. Tell them to go home. Oh, God. But they were, through the years, I realised they were preparing me, which I didn't know, because they were the top people, really. They were lovely in everything. What do you call it? How to keep a house clean and paint. Well, everything I learned. There was nothing left out at all. Cooking, I loved it. Making brawn out of sheep's head. Having the tongue, doing that, pressing that. Everything. Cakes, little cakes, lovely cakes, everything. I could do everything. And I just took it as part of my life. I just enjoyed that, all I'm doing. I'm a doer. Instead of sitting down and writing, I can't do that. So I was pleased about all that.
Yeah. Well, tell me then, you said, did you take the 11 plus?
No.
You didn't take it?
I think in those days, there was only certain children were allowed to take it, wasn't there?
Right.
That's how I felt about school then. It was only the more attention, if it was one of somebody's child then. There was that thing then. I mean, I was always, I must have been naughty, because I was always behind the blackboard.
So where did you go then?
In school at 13 or 14 at the time.
Yes.
And then...
So you finished in that school?
In that school, yeah.
Oh, I see. So you didn't go on to
education,
secondary school?
No.
Right.
Just work then, looking for work.
So you left school when you were...
Well, I don't know if it was 13 or 14.
Right. Do you remember what year that was?
Wait a minute now. I must have worked before that, because my mum died in 47,
yes.
So I'm going back. Well, it got to be about 1942, was it? Born 1931, and
so
10,
you'd be,
no.
You'd be sort of 45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in between that...
Yeah.
We had, because the war was on, we had, what do you call them? People coming from away.
Evacuees.
We even had a man and a woman, which was belonging to us, which was my father's brother's in-laws, Mr. and Mrs. Burrows. Lovely people. I think about them a lot. And they had... We had to give the one bedroom up for them. So I don't know. We used to sleep. Well, I used to sleep with my brothers. We'd be, say, two up and two down. Two down the bottom of the bed and two up on the bed. And my brother used to come home then. I'm getting all jumbled up now, aren't I? There's so much, so much to tell.
Yes.
Because I just think, God, what I've had, I can't believe what I've had.
Yeah.
I have, really. And, I mean, when it came to washing after Mum died, my father would help me with... Well, I was on this rubbing board before my mother died, because they'd have a box So I could stand on the box to reach the rubbing board over the bath, because we didn't have no washers or anything like that. We had a mangle, and then you'd do all your things, starch them and blow them and all that rigmarole, and boiling. And it was lovely for me because I loved everything I was doing.
But did you say you were... Were you the only girl, did you say?
No, my sister.
Right, so there were two girls?
Yes, and four boys.
And four boys.
Now, before I came down to Nutriga, the boys and my sister had rheumatic fevers.
Oh, I see.
They were really ill.
Right.
And they got over it. But it's just... when I came to Nutriga, I was always not that well because my legs or something used to bother me. I'd go out and I wouldn't be able to walk and come back in or something like that. So they didn't confirm it, but they couldn't diagnose that I hadn't had the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When we came then down to Birch Grove, it was, and my sister she was about 17 then, and it was terrible, terrible to see her. Oh, there was another bout she had before she got married. And of course it left a weakness with the heart and different things. So she was always not very well. But I can remember terrible time for everyone. So that was, if she was born in 21 and she was 18.
You were right then. You were eight, yeah?
Pardon?
You were eight, were you?
That's what I was just wondering how old I would have been.
Yeah, eight, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's 10 years older than me.
That's right.
And, but I seemed to be doing everything, because...
Were you the youngest?
My brother.
You had a brother after you?
Yeah,
right.
But he's still alive. We phone one another. He lives in Glyneath.
Right.
And, He's marvellous again. All miners.
Yeah.
Everyone were miners, and then they were overmen.
Right.
Except the one that was in the Royal, not the Merchant Navy.
Yeah.
Because he went away to that school, or whatever it was. We found out that... I always thought it was Bostow.
Yeah.
But I found out that it was Crick, and they used to call it Crick, but it's like Crickowell. They had a place there.
Special school, something.
And of course, I didn't know until I found out later that he was a bachelor, but he was gay.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, we didn't talk about it in those days.
No.
I didn't know what he was, really, as long as he was my brother.
Yes.
And that was all I was concerned about. And he went to the Merchant Navy in first year of the war. I was 35, was it? First year of the war,
yes.
Straight from that.
45, yes.
Yeah, 45.
39,
I knew it was 30 in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he went first year and he stayed there he went all through and he was on the Arctic convoy.
Oh, was he?
And that's another thing that I've been everywhere.
Did he talk to you about that? Did he talk?
No.
He didn't.
Oh, my God, no. I wouldn't have known when it came on the television that he had been.
Yeah.
Because I remember he couldn't come home to Mum's funeral because he was in somewhere, Africa or something like that, because he was burnt and had to go to hospital. And I know he had pneumonia. So I don't know no more than that. I got a little photo of him with this girl in South Africa. But there's so much investigation that I'd love to do about him.
Yes.
A lady have helped me to find out all ships. He was on a lot of the ships because I think he worked for a Canadian firm as well as local, because we used to take him down to Cardiff all the time in Swansea to the...
To catch the boat.
To the docks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the one gentleman who used to sign him on, years after, I'm jumping right over now, I met him.
Yes.
in Cardiff Hospital, and it was lovely to meet somebody who the connection was there, you know.
Mm. So when did you lose your when did your brother die then?
85, I think. Oh, it was right. He died, yeah. Yeah, when he finished in the Merchant Navy, which is then he lucky he made a home in London. He had a flat up in Woolwich, I think it was, somewhere around there. And he took a job in a college, or whatever they call them now, universities. And he done the all the set eating at the boiler room, as they called. Because he was a stoker in the Merchant Navy,
yeah.
So he done that, and he done that for years.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he developed lung cancer. And my sister and I, we used to have to go up to London to see him and go to the hospitals then, when he was in hospital. And we had him, I've tried to ask them, but they won't release anything on him. We brought him back down to the hospice in Swansea.
Right.
I can't think of the name. I do know the name, but I can't think of it at the moment. And that's where he died.
Right.
It was a terrible time. It took 12. We was down there early in the morning, and it took 12 hours to fetch him from London down to the Swansea Hospice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Terrible.
Going back to you now then, you left school then when you were 14. What did you do then?
Well, I got a feeling that I did go away. We went away. Yeah, I think... Yeah, I think that was the first job. We went away to a boarding school in Yeovil. About six of us girls must have come from school, and you know.
Do you remember who got that job for you then?
Well, I expected it was, no, I don't really, but it must have been organised by someone, because they. We went to Yeovil, and
so you knew the girls who went.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. We were all local.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about it now because we never laughed so much in all my life. But we were young. But in the kitchen we were.
Yes.
And then they'd serve the food in the hall. But I would never go there. I always wanted to be in the kitchen. I'd never even seen them. The boys. I, although I was into everything, I didn't want to mix much. I was like, how can I explain? I suppose I was a bit shy, really. I didn't have confidence then.
Mm.
I didn't have confidence to go into the big rooms and see them all.
No.
I'd rather be in with the cook and that, you know. She was lovely to us for a play. Yeah, there was. And of course, we used to go out, and of course it was in those days, I think it is now, it was a navy port, wasn't it? There was in Yeovil they had a school then.
Right.
So we used to go out in the night, of course, and you'd meet up different things, but there was nothing in it. It's just that we were that age, we didn't know nothing really.
Mm.
In those days you didn't, and you'd think, well, where do babies come from? And things all like that. But we were always full of laughter.
Mm.
That's all we wanted to do, would be silly and laugh, growing up, I expect.
Yeah.
And of course, we wore, gotta say, the navy knickers. Yeah. And the maroon ones.
Oh, right, yeah.
They were, that's the colour we wore then. Most likely it was still the school sort of colours.
Yes.
I don't know. And so you had to watch you didn't wet yourself, because all the dye would wet. Oh, God. I just think, well, where have I come from? But it was lovely. And I was taken ill there, and in the school. I was in bed for quite a while. I had, they call it, housemaid. That's what it's still gone now, I think. Housemaid's knee.
Oh, yes.
And there was a name for it, but it must have got so bad that it went into my system.
Oh dear.
So I was really ill, mine. And we had a dormitory, and the girls were still funny. They were pulling me around in the bed and putting me by the window so somebody could see me. Things like that, silly things, but lovely, you know.
Yeah.
All in good. Oh, we'd meet now, and well, we didn't meet because the husbands would just go. They'd say, "I'm going," because it's all we'd talk about.
You still see them, do you?
Well, there's a few have died,
yeah.
But yeah,
there's
one still alive, and yeah. She's wicked. She is. She is the wicked one, but she's still alive, and she, funny enough, she hadn't long lost her son of a brain tumor. Sudden. He's 59, he was.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a bit older than my son.
Right.
But they must have been in school together. But it's a terrible thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But,
well, so tell me then.
We come back home,
yeah.
That's one certificate I have got from school that I'd make a good maid. And I was honest. I was this, I was that, and everything. Trustworthy, doing this. And I got that to this day, and I think, well, really, that would have been equivalent to, what would they call themselves today? I can't think of the word now. Somebody said when I told them, they said that's equivalent to a...
MVQ.
Yeah, or something like that,
with
knowing... household things then.
Yeah, yeah.
In cooking, cleaning and all that.
Yes.
But when I was in school, mind, the headmistress and cookery mistress, they picked me for doing their lunches, and I'd have to make it as they wanted it.
Right.
With rich, rich pastry.
Yes.
And all that.
Yes.
And I felt honoured, and I used to scrub the floors down there as well. But I think what it is, you only excel in what you knew.
Yes.
And that's what I did.
You loved it. You trained very well, haven't you?
Yes, I trained. Yeah. And then having all the best people, I look back.
Yeah.
But tell
me then, how did you come to work in a factory? And
right, well, we come back from Yeovil, and we left, I don't know, perhaps we were fed up. I think as you get a bit older, you're fed up with this, we wanted to change, so we come back home.
Mm.
All of us come back home. And we went then, they were doing... what's the word for it when they have us there to talk? If we would like to go to the cigar factory.
Oh, right.
So that's when I went to the cigar factory then.
So how did that come about then? They were looking for people?
They were looking... That was the first time, more or less, they were doing something for girls up in Neutradiga and this area, Rummy, you know.
A kind of recruitment drive.
Yes, that's it.
Yes, yeah. For the cigar factory.
Yeah, we all had to go up to the hall... the church hall, and had an interview,
right.
And then we were passed, and that's where we went. And I know we used to go down on the train then, because it was the earliest time,
yes.
The special bus, and then you'd go down to Grangetown, down to Cardiff, and then you'd have a bus to take to Grangetown, because that's where it used to be, first of all,
right.
In Grangetown.
Yes.
And the lady was talking, and she was saying, me and you used to work in a cigar factory.
Who was that?
A lady living over here.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what she was telling me.
Yeah.
I said, well, fancy you fetching that up now, I said, and I'm thinking about all that.
Yeah.
And she was in the same room as, it's called the stripping room.
Oh, right.
Which you had to have the big leaf, and you've got to strip the leaf of the vein out of this leaf, and then it goes into packs, and then it goes further on. But that's the room we were in, the stripping room, as it's called.
Right.
And
did you do that all the time you were there?
Yes, I didn't do anything else.
Right. So tell me then, do you remember the first day in the cigar factory? Tell me, you had to catch a train, you said.
Yes.
So tell me, do you remember what time you had to leave?
Oh, yes, it was early in the morning. But I suppose you'd have to be up at 6 or 7, because it was our way, really, to get to Cardiff. Yeah, I would think it was roughly about that time.
Right.
I was hoping I had seen her to ask her these questions, because we had to catch it in Turfell, and then most likely she'd have to have caught it in Bargoed, because
right.
she lived lower down.
Right.
And but we just took it as it came. It was just something that you'd done, and you got on with it.
So tell me then, do you remember anything about the first day? Do you remember your first day walking in there?
No. Can't remember that at all.
Were you trained at all to do this job you were doing?
No, they just showed us when we got over in the room. They just come and showed you how to do, and
right.
then they look overlook you to see that you were doing it right. And once they knew you could do it, that was it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And do you remember what your hours were then? Do you remember what time you started? You know, your breaks,
We did have lovely breaks and that. I know we used to look forward to the breaks. Because we love eating, I think, then, in those days. And looking forward to it.
Do you remember what time you started?
Not exactly, no. I can't visualise that. Unless somebody said to me, and then I'd say, oh, yes, that's right.
Did you have to stay at the same time as the Cardiff girls, or did they give you a bit of leave?
No, I think we started at the same time. Could see them all going in, like, at the same time, yeah.
Did you have to clock in and clock off?
No, that's another thing. I don't know. I can't quite remember doing that. I think we used to do it in Sherman's. But I don't think we'd done it there.
Right. And where was this now? This was in Clive Road when you worked there, was it?
Where did I say now? Grangetown, was
yeah.
it?
Because it moved later, didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it did. It moved. Oh, yeah. It wasn't in the new one. It was in the old one.
In the old one.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
So I think it was Clive Road, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah.
And do you remember how much you were paid?
Oh, my gosh, no. Not much, I know, but if there's enough money to sort of take home and give some to the pot, and you'd have a little bit left yourself.
Did a few of you then from this area, you know?
Yes, a few. Oh, more than a few from this area went.
Right, and did you know the others who went? You know,
quite a few of them.
Yeah.
yeah.
Were they in school with you?
Yeah.
Things? Yeah.
The one well.
Any of the ones that went to Yeovil with you?
Yeah, the one I know of.
Right.
And I don't know if the others are alive. Jean, Audrey, no, they've died. Mavis. The Marie, no, she's alive and kicking. She's always been the same. Dancing, God knows what, she could do everything. Wicked.
So there were.
Perhaps she could, yeah.
There were.
Perhaps she could tell me. On, Sylvie is living over here.
All right.
And, she was telling somebody on the bus stop about us, and I said, "Oh gosh, don't bring all that up now." And we were laughing, mind, but so that, those memories, you know, you've done it, but they weren't strong enough to. You know, get you anywhere then. We'd done them because it was another job.
Yes.
So then if you didn't like that, there were choices you could change.
Yes.
So then I went into the sorting office in Sherman's.
Yeah, before we go there,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask you a few more things about... do you remember what the factory building was like? You know, do you remember anything about it and the smells, the... You know, did it smell of tobacco or whatever.
Oh yes, you could smell that. I could smell that. Yeah. But I was, my dad used to smoke a pipe.
Right.
Not regular, but in his own time he'd love to have a smoke of a pipe.
Yeah.
So I was used to smoking, and my sister would smoke. I've never smoked, but they were, well, I don't think the boys smoked. No, they were, oh, they did smoke after, yeah. They did when they were older.
How did you get on then with the Cardiff girls?
Fine, I got on with everybody. I'm still the same now.
Right.
I can go out and talk to the, and I don't mind who it is, as long as it's a conversation, and I'm willing to listen, and I learn from that, and think how lucky I am.
Yeah.
And I've always done that. Or I always see the other side of the point. My husband would say, oh my God, here you go. Oh, you can't find a fault with excuse for mine. But he says you can go outside and find all the excuses you've got for somebody else. But no, I do enjoy all that. Love it.
So you found, because there was a big gang from Grangetown there, wasn't there?
Yeah,
and
there
big,
was.
Big gang from,
well, I was told, I did say Shirley Bassey before to somebody that she was there.
Yeah.
And my friend said the same thing now when I met her.
Yeah.
And she said, well, Shirley Bassey used to work there as well.
Yeah, there was a big gang from Bute Town there,
yes,
as well,
yeah,
wasn't there?
Yeah.
So were they cliquey or did they mix?
Well, I think we mixed well.
Right.
Yeah, I think we mixed well. In those days, I think we were glad to be part of them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
so they were quite friendly then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, when my son and daughter was in school and growing up, and when they were teenagers and they wanted to go to dance halls, they used to have trips from down there up to Bargod and that, and all their lateros. It's queer, isn't it? Yeah.
So the girls from Cardiff, from the docks,
they were lovely.
And Grangetown, they used to come up to Bargod for a...
Not the ones I knew.
Oh,
I jump in, I went to my son's
age.
The age is another generation then. There were, well, the Pittle girls, they used to come up from Cardiff. You had to watch. My son used to come home. He couldn't cope with it because it was too rough. But, I mean, in my day, it wasn't like that. Everybody was... Well, I think it's... What it was, I think, we didn't have much in those days. So whatever we had, we excelled on it. It was lovely. I mean, where we went, what we seen, it was another world. And especially from coming up of the valleys,
yeah,
and going down to Cardiff. I used to love going to Cardiff and my dad and his friend, they were boxers as well, bear and boxers, and strong men. Well, they worked underground all their life and they fought for the rights. And of course, we used to go to Cardiff then when there was a bit of money, more money about. And first thing we'd do, we'd go, he'd have his granddaughter with him, and I was with my dad, we'd go straight to Cardiff Market and have a little china dish with a washing of cockles.
Oh, yeah.
And I could eat them, I couldn't eat them now, my gosh. And that was lovely. Then after we'd go in and they'd buy some clothes for me then,
yeah,
in Marks and Spencer's, even then. And we'd have something to eat somewhere, because they used, in Cardiff, in Woolworths, they used to have a round counter. Where you eat.
Oh, right, yes.
It was a round counter. All the stuff was in the middle and going on, if you wanted pie and chips or something, fish and chips or anything like that. And you'd sit on stools around the counter on the outside. And I can remember then going in there for a chop-up.
Well, going back to the Freemans then, so what did you enjoy the work?
Yes, I did. It was only doing envelopes, really.
No, the stripping.
Oh, the stripping, yes. Of course I did, yes.
Yeah. But you don't remember how much you paid?
No. Not at the moment. Well, no, I've got so many payslips, but they're all by fathers and mothers, fathers and father-in-laws from years ago, the First World War I got them.
Right. Did you keep your own payslips?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, you kept your father's? Was it unionised at the time? Do you remember that? Was there a union there at the time?
Yes, I was always paid the union all the time.
So there was a union in Freemans when you were there?
I think there was. I can't say for sure, but I know that I'd have to pay that because my dad would make sure I was doing that because that's the way we were brought up, real unionists and all of us.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. My brother fought for people underground. My other brother, he had a better job, but he couldn't take it. He didn't like it. He was a doer like myself. And the other one was Overman. And he's on the front page of the book they've done now about the mines.
Oh,
and we were all like union... This brought up from birth. There's no way. Because when I was in Cora's, I had the sack from there.
We'll go on to that now. I just want to go in order, you know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask what the conditions were like then in Freedman's.
I found them, well, this was all new to us, wasn't it? You know what I mean? It was like from coming from a house... where you did washing, cleaning and all that sort of thing. And if you had enough money to go and buy a pair of shoes or anything, it was then, you was going to Cardiff and you were seeing how the other half lived. And I didn't see it. I just thought it was all a new world to me.
So you thought the conditions were okay?
Yeah.
Did you have, what about heating and lighting and things? You thought...
No, I didn't think. I thought that was all right.
Yeah. And canteen, did you have a canteen?
Oh, the canteens must have been good because that's all I do. I was eating, I do eat. I think I use my energy, but I have to have my food all the time. Yeah.
So you'd eat? Was it cooked food then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
And would you have...
Sandwiches, sometimes we take mine with us as well. And if we had money, we'd buy something. But if we didn't have money, well, we wouldn't. We couldn't afford it.
No. What did you do with your wages?
You had to bring it home to your parents. And then they'd more or less say, well, you could save, say, half a crown or something like that. That's what it used to be.
Yeah.
And then we used to have a club... washing club to buy clothes. And the woman would come and ask what would you like, and they'd get it and bring it, and if it's suitable you'd keep it. Then you'd pay every week.
Right.
And that's what we used to have it. And then we used to have a provident check.
Oh yeah.
That would give you... I got one of them, somewhere. Funny enough, because it was an aunt of mine had it years ago. And she just gave it to me to use, and I don't think I ever used it. And they were marvellous, because I always think of that when my mother, I say about, I wanted this, but I always wanted the best. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. My father used to take me shopping, and he had good sense of dress and things, always smart and that. And I'd say, well, I'm going to get one of those checks. I often think about that now. I used to think, well, you are to have one of them to have what you want. Otherwise, you wouldn't have one.
Yeah.
And that's why we always used to say, get a provident check, because I want, and I wouldn't have nothing else. I had to have the thing I wanted. It doesn't matter if I'd done without. I'm the same now, though. I'm like that now. I'd rather not have it at all, you know.
What about in work, then? Could you... Were you able to talk to people and things while you were working?
Yeah, well, it was all silly things. We were all young. There was nothing... I don't think any of us was well educated to talk about anything. We were just glad to do work and have money. And that's what it was all about, really.
Well, did they play music in those days?
I'm not sure. I think they used to have the wireless on. Yeah, I think they used to have workers' playtime and all that, didn't they, you know? Yeah.
And did you used to sing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're all together, we'd all have a go, you know. But I suppose that's where Shirley Bassey came from, I expect. But, like, the people in Cardiff would have known her more than we would have known her. It's just after, I think, we learned that she'd worked there. Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't have noticed her, would we, in those days? Just glad to go.
Yeah, I think she worked in quite a few of the factories in Cardiff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think now, when the one lady who worked, she worked there a long time after me, and like another generation then coming up. I bet she would know quite a bit about it, Jean. Yeah, but the other lady from over here worked the same time as me, because we were about the same age, and her sister. I don't know if her sister was working there with her. Must ask her.
Did you make good friends with some of the girls that down there?
Oh, I made friends with everybody.
Yeah. Did you used to go out?
Yes, we used to go out.
Yeah.
Not out down. No, we didn't go out much with them, because by the time you come out, you are the best waiting for it to go back to the train and that.
So, what time did you get home usually then?
Got to be about 6, I would think, what I can think of the time, you know, because when you got home, you was preparing for the next day.
So it was a long day then?
Oh, gosh, yeah, it's a long day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they do anything like, you know, when, excuse me, did they do anything like, you know, when it was Christmas? Did you have Christmas parties, that kind of thing?
Do you know, I can't even think of that. I expect they did. That doesn't stick in my mind. Queer, isn't it? How things, some just stick in some... Unless somebody said something now, and then I'd remember.
Right, yeah, yeah. So what was it exactly? Did you go and work there before your mum died, or was it after you lost your mum?
No, it must have been before.
Right.
Yeah.
And how long did you work in Freeman's?
In the cigar factory, or?
Yeah, it's a cigar factory, yeah.
Well, not long, because I got a feeling that I might have gone away after that now, when I'm talking to you.
Oh, right. So you might have gone there first?
Yeah. And I was coming back. Because I can always, when I talk to you about this lady who'd come around and ask, what would you want to have? I remember my mother, I wanted one of these nylon marks.
Right.
And I only wanted this one, and it was like cream off, well, nearly white cream. And it's all I wanted, to go away. And I think she got me one of those, to go away.
Right.
And yeah, I think it was after, must have been.
So you went to Freeman's, then you went to Yeovil.
I went to the cigar factory first, that right. could have been it. Leaving school, and then you had to go for interviews.
Right.
So I think that's what it was. Right. I'll always remember that mark. I just think about it now sometimes. And it was really lovely. And then, Yeah. So we went there first and then come home, and then we done these other jobs then.
Yes.
Yeah.
So were you there for a year, or was it less, do you think?
Well, it wasn't, I don't seem to have kept a job long, because I think it was always trouble at home, come home, or, you know. Nobody was telling me anything, but I mean, I was wanted more at home.
Yeah.
And home I had to come.
Right.
It was all just a matter of the way we lived.
Mm.
Family was family, and that's what you did.
Yeah.
When it was needed, you'd come home.
Yes. So when you came back from Yeovil then, do you remember where you went after that then?
I'm thinking of what year that would have been. If I could think of the year that would have been. Oh, I did, I'd done something with Spirella then.
Right.
A corseting firm it was.
Oh, that's right, Spirella. Yes.
And
Spirella.
Yeah, they come to the house and asked me if I'd be interested. I must have, because in those days my dad had got a washing for me apprenticeship with the tailors in our village in Newtriga.
Right.
Parry's the tailors. It was the tailors then. And to have learn, because I was on always wanted to make things and knit and things like that, and I could have had the job, but my mum, I think they was hearing different things about this man, and she wouldn't allow me to go.
Right.
It's funny, she said, yeah. That was really funny, because I know there was another woman who done it, and she was a seamstress, or whatever you call them, a tailor, and she was Sally Abbott, and a friend of mine, she had her apprentice with her, and
right.
Sally Abbott ended up in Cardiff in one of the big stores.
Oh, right.
She was a real good... Well, she was famous up in Newtriga.
Yeah, so
Taylor.
Yeah.
Tayloress, is it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Taylor.
Yeah. That's yeah, they are. But that's why I always think of that, about why didn't they let me go there then?
So did you go to Spirella's instead?
Yeah. Something's come up then, and Spirella, I don't know how I got in touch with them.
Now, tell me where Spirella was.
Well, I think their base must have been Cardiff, hadn't it?
Oh, right.
I think, I don't know. But the lady came and interviewed me,
right,
and showed me what you got to do and different things, because they used to sell skirts and knitted jackets and things like that.
Spirella.
Oh, it was lovely.
Not corsets then?
Yes.
And corsets. I see.
But they went into the clothes then.
I see.
And I'd done a few fittings for people who wanted a corset and that. And I think they'd done it for me, because I was in the street, you know, to give me a order then, really. But
how did that work then? You didn't have to go in. Did you have to go into the factory?
No, you went around to the people's houses.
Oh,
you'd done it like that.
So tell me about that then. What,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you had to go to the house,
yeah,
you're the client, and then you had to do all these measurements, and you had different garments to try on and do them, and then put it all down in a book, and the size and everything, and then you can order it, and they'd have it then. Now the order would go through, and that would be it.
And you think the factory was in Cardiff, so they'd make it in Cardiff, did they?
I don't know, could have been. But we assumed everything is in Cardiff, really, in those days it was. Because We didn't go far afield. I didn't know the dairy people. This is when I was in school, they used to take us up the mountain for a walk, and there's a church, the Capel Church, up there. Then you'd come over, and to this day I can see a big field of bluebells. Oh, I thought it was beautiful. I was going through the woods. You went up the mountain, all clear, then you went past the church and the graves, and then you'd go into the woodland then, and you'd see this big, big patch of bluebells. I always say bluebells, I only know bluebells, buttercups. And then you sat there, and you'd be overlooking, and it's only, well, not many years, it realised it was all overlooking this village. Overlooking this village, and I couldn't believe it. And yet, the teachers who taught me in Turfield School were from here. They used to tell me then, well, we used to walk over the mountain to come to school, to teach us.
Right.
Isn't it funny?
Right.
It was, I couldn't believe it. They were lovely people. I met them, the teachers from years ago, and the one who taught me. Oh, gosh, lovely.
Yeah. So how long did you do this job for Spirellas then?
Well, I don't think that wasn't long lasting again.
But you basically were working from home.
Yes, I was working from home.
Do you remember what the wages were like then?
No. I don't think I took much notice of how much I was earning. I don't know why. I enjoyed the job, and I enjoyed more because I had a skirt made for myself and a jacket. And,
By Spirellas then?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, made by Spirella. Marvellous. Everyone used to ask me, where did you get that? It's just a green check, only a in check, not a permanent check, in the weave, and this green cardigan knit with a roll collar and buttoned up the front. It was like a suit, really. Beautiful clothes.
So you were very young to be doing this job, in a way.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah, I was young.
You know, going round to people's houses.
For people, because they were quite big people, you know. But of course, they were doing it for me, I think.
Okay.
I think when I lived in Birch Grove, all the people, see now my mother suffered and died at a young age of 47 or... And then all the people sort of looked after me. You know, even when I was getting married and watching me all the time. And then when I had a baby, I had to go and see everybody in the street. And it was, oh God, I can't believe it. It's so lovely. Lovely. I still think of it all, and I just think, oh my God. Oh, I'd give anything to have it all back. It was really lovely. And if I hadn't been to see somebody, I missed somebody. You've been in so-and-so, and you've been here. And to this day now, it's only a year ago, our friends, we got together. We were all in our 80s now. One lived in Penarth, one lived up in Bedwellty, and we all got together. Oh.
And where were these friends from, sorry?
Pardon?
Where were these friends from?
We grew up together all in the street.
Right.
I got a photo of them when we were little.
Right.
We dressed up like a carnival. Oh, God, it's crazy. It was lovely.
Yeah.
And everybody, like, you'd go in, like, when I had loads of coal, and then the neighbours would come, because we used to have coal, all so many, and perhaps you didn't use it all, and you'd ask the neighbours, leave it outside, and they'd come and have it then. And then they'd come then, the old people, with half a pound of margarine, because... Well, the rationing was all on then, wasn't it? And everything like that.
Yeah.
And I just see them now, you know, I just think about them and God alive. And their children, we all grew up together. Everyone would, and then my brother would go in, some of the neighbours took to my brother, and of course they'd want him in there all the time with their kids and feed him, because he sort of missed my mother more than anything, I think. He was 2 years younger than me,
yes,
when she died, and it took a bit for him to, mommy's boy then, you know.
Yeah.
But me, I was a little bit, how can I say, inquisitive. I just wanted to know more. I didn't have time. Until you do have time in the end, but you didn't have time at the moment because you had to be doing something.
Mm.
Preparing.
So how you worked for Spirellas?
Yeah.
How long was that then? Was that?
I don't think that was long.
No.
I don't think I held a job all that long, because every time I thought I was getting on with my life, I was needed more back in the house. And that's all I can remember.
Did you go from there, maybe? Did you go from there to Cora Crafts, or when
Cora's.
Cora, sorry.
I went to Cora's then.
After Spirellas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Must have been.
And where was Cora's?
Oh, I did do... No, that was after. I'm trying to think what I'd done before that now. No, I think that's where I went then after, to Cora's. That was in the 50s. 49 perhaps. And
so what did you do there? What did they make?
I was they made everything for Marks and Spencer's.
Right.
All blouses, dresses, pajamas, everything. When I started, I was put on the, I started off on the cutting section.
Right.
That was laying the materials flat all down. There was a way to do it, and I got into it. And then when it was all laid, you know, say thickness like that, then the cutter would come with a big machine and cut the patterns out. And then if anyone made a mistake, they'd come back to me. I could go up on the end and do a recut. And that's, I enjoyed all that, because that's something else I wanted to do. I was doing something that made something, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I could see the outcome of it all.
Yes.
So, and of course when I went in there, there was everyone on the factory floor, because the cutting section was at the end, and they were all shouting things down to me, because everyone knew me through my, because they knew I was going with this boy.
Yes.
And they all knew me, but I didn't know them.
All right.
But
you'd met your husband by then, had you?
Pardon? Yes, I met my husband then. He had just finished his apprenticeship, 18 he was. And he had to go to do his national service. So then, that time, then the national service for him and myself, that's when I went into the factory then.
Right.
Yeah.
So where is Cora's, or where was
it? It was in Aberbargod.
In Aberbargod.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's still there, the factory itself. It's turned into different things.
Right.
Oh, so that was lovely.
Was it?
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it, because all, as I say, the older ladies, which I got photos of, they were all there. So there again, they got the job for me. So they took me down there with them and looked after me, because they were all from the street.
Right. And is that how you got the job then?
Yeah.
Right.
But they had been working there quite some time, because those people I'd also worked in the munition factories.
I see, yes.
Because munitions, all that age group, worked in the munitions. And the train, where I lived, the train was at the back of the house. So everyone used to be waving to people on the trains going to work.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was lovely.
How did you get to Cora? Could you walk or did you have to...
No, we had a bus.
Right.
Yeah. Not a special room, just I think we caught a service bus for a few years, and then I think they put on buses then.
Do you remember how much you were paid when you were there?
No, not really. No, it's funny, because I can't believe that. I bet you I've got the receipts somewhere.
Yeah.
Up the attic, because I've found so many things lately. I don't know where I'm going.
Right.
And because I found out that my husband's family and my family, where I was born in Rumney, we were living in the same street.
Right.
Nearly next door.
Right. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's so lovely to think, you know. And another thing, I think that my husband's father was in Cardiff Infirmary after the First World War, during to his health, and my mother were in the same place, in Cardiff Infirmary.
Right.
Because I got letters, you know, I confirmed it. I can't believe it, they've all happened and it's all coming together then.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes. So, do you remember when you started work at Cora's?
You gotta be,
in the morning, I mean, no.
I think we had to be there for 8 o'clock.
Right, and you think you clocked in and off there?
Yes,
you?
Yes, yeah.
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 Do you remember what your breaks were and that kind of thing?
Oh yeah, we had lovely breaks. Lovely breaks. We were all ready for food again.
Yeah.
Oh,
so did you have what a break in the morning?
Yeah, and break in the morning and then dinner time and then a short break in the afternoon.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Was
lovely. Lovely what? Food. Yeah.
Yes. Nice. Did they have a canteen?
They had a lovely canteen. Yeah.
What about the other facilities? Was it what kind of factory?
Well, there's nothing else, only the toilets. There was nothing. Oh, and the first aid room. We had a first aid room.
Oh, was it a new factory or an old, you know, what kind of place was it?
Yeah, it was pretty new, really. Although some of them had been there a couple of years before I started. But they all went to Leicester to learn.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, a friend of mine. She went up to Leicester to learn, and then of course they were supervisors then when they come back.
Mm.
Yeah.
What were they learning then? To use the machine?
I mean, a lot of them had the experience of learning, knowing a bit about sewing, because they made clothes in those days, didn't they? And I think it went from there, but the lady that got me the job, she was a friend of the family's, and in fact, I always remember she made my confirmation dress.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's so lovely, you know. And, of course, some of their family, they went back with was a GI bride then. And they looked after me when I was ill. If I was ill, I was always looked after by some neighbour would take me in.
Yeah.
And Victor was home with his wife then, and they looked after me. And he was American, he went up, or Canadian. And he was in the forces with Montgomery, Victor.
Right.
And I'm in touch now with the daughter. She's 68, I think, and she got the confirmation of a picture with Montgomery.
Oh,
so it's there's so many lovely things I think that have happened to me that I don't want to lose them all.
Yeah.
But I want to get in touch with them now, because I had the Fisher block for 30 years.
Oh, you had the fish up?
Yeah, I had the fish up, yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's a week. We can't.
We haven't got there yet.
Oh, no.
Let me go back to Cora a minute.
Yeah.
What were the conditions like there? You know, the lighting, heating, that kind of thing.
Yeah, good? I don't think we ever... I never grumbled. Nobody seemed to grumble.
Do you think you were treated well by the management?
Well, we were until this man came. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sergeant Major. Mr. Flawn, I can remember him. He come from the army. And he was a proper... Well, factory was going all right, lovely. Not supervisors, they were all lovely, but the overseers who'd have come, two men, Peter and Michael, I can remember them to this day. They came around and they were lovely to talk to and respect, you know, was all there. And then this Mr. Flawn came out to the blue from the army. I can't remember much. I remember seeing the manager a few times and he was quite nice, but I don't know what happened. I expect they were on changing. They do that sometimes, don't they? Try to see if something can be better or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, this Mr. Flawn can. My God, all hell broke loose. He was sacking people. And people, engineers, you know, who was doing the machines, young men. And it was terrible, really. Well, I thought it was terrible. Without any warning. Not no warning. On the day that Friday came, right, there's your papers. Anyway, by the time I finished on the cutting, now, place, I don't know what happened, now, my boss on the cutting section was Bob Barker. His son had still got a shop in Cardiff. And they were from, Leicester or some place up there. They come down, and that's where they down here. And they were lovely people. And then Mr. Flawn come and sacking these engineers and different boys. And then I was put on examining then, at the time, from the cutting section, and put on the examining before they go out, the goods go out. So I was on the examining for quite a while. And if you've seen anything untoward, you would have to give it back to the, what's the name, the team, and they'd have to put it right before you'd pass it again. So we were doing these men's pyjamas, they were, and there was a lot come now, and God, I said, me and this girl who was doing that, found that they were all bad, really bad. The front, the most important part was the front, and the stitching and the box. Most likely they were cut wrong in the first place, and they couldn't get it to go together. And we wouldn't pass on. So there was a bit of problem, and they didn't like it. And we had books. Every time you'd done a basket, you'd have to put it down that you'd done that basket and that. Anyway, it came one afternoon now, and me and this girl, we had the sack. Oh, my God. Oh, I think all hell had broke loose.
I was going to ask, was there a union in the factory?
Yeah.
So what happened then with this man?
I don't know if there was a union. I'm not quite sure, but anyway, I'll tell you what happened. He sacked us. She was from, what's name? And anyway, they had a get together, and I knew the personnel manager anyway, and I knew the woman in the storeroom. Because we were friends, old friends. And said to the man, I said, well, you knew they were wrong. And they said something. They didn't give us why they sacked us. And I, me, that was fatal. I want to know what I done wrong. If I done it wrong, I tell you I'm wrong. Anyway, I said, well, what about the books? Get the books. Couldn't find the books. They'd gone. I said, well, I'm going home now. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I said, they can't do that. And they knew I meant it. Because I thought, as soon as I got home and told my dad, then my brother came up from where he was living, because he was a unionist. Top one, he used to go up to Blackpool and different places with the unions. And they had somebody from Cardiff to come up and sort it out. Oh, he was arrogant. He had us upstairs. He was filming it, because his face, he was blood red. And he was abusive sometimes. And I said, I'm not going to take this. I said, my father said to get the police in if he were going to be. Oh, that made him worse. He went bananas. But I just, out of the blue, I was doing what my father told me to do, yes. You know. And anyway, this lady come up now from Cardiff, union representative. She sorted it all out. And they had to give us our job back. They had to reinstate us.
Right.
Oh.
Did he stay on as well, this man?
Do you know, I often think, I wondered if he did. But anyway, what happened was, everyone, I mean, even the personnel, she wouldn't come down to, you know, they were all afraid of their jobs then, put it that way.
Yeah.
And when he reinstated us, he had to, and he had to put it up on the board, you know, that in the canteen. And we had to come back and start on the Monday. We went back and we said, you can stick it where the sun shines. We couldn't go back to it. Because it wasn't, I don't know why we done it, but we couldn't do it. It was so they made us a scapegoat, really. And it did hurt to be, and to think that, if that had been a couple of years before, everyone would have stuck together. But it was coming to that time in the 50s, 52. Yeah, 52, and that's when it happened. And I haven't got to put up with this. Even if I don't have money, I wouldn't put up with that. Because if you've been brought up in that situation, which I was, what you said and done and meant, it was, you know, for good, like.
Yeah.
And we didn't go back, me and all this girl. But what happened was, why we had the sake, they returned all the order, didn't they, from Marks and Spencer's. That's what they done. I often think of selling them in Marks and Spencer's, because funny enough, I was in Marks and Spencer's one day, and I was walking past and looking at the clothes, and my leg, oh my God, I thought, somebody stabbed me in my foot. And what it was, the rail, those things sticking out, and it stuck right in this one here, but there, in the vein. My God, I thought I was going to faint. Well, they had to get somebody, because I nearly fainted anyway. And I thought, oh my God, what have happened? I couldn't see what had happened. And then they came and dressed it, fair play for them. And I had walked into it, and there was a thing sticking out, and it's like steel, and ruptured the foot. So I said, oh, I'm all right now. You know, I was all right, fair play after. But when I went home then, I thought, oh my God, oh, I feel, it was throbbing all the time. So somebody suggested I had it photographed. The doctor said, you better have that photographed. I went to the doctor's, photographed. And then in a couple of weeks I felt better, and I went down, and the lady who from upstairs came down to see me, and I said, look, I said, I don't know, but I said, my foot had been terrible. I said, I don't know if I should put a claim in or what. I said, I don't want a lot of money or anything, but I said, when I think of the inconvenience it has caused me, were losing work and one thing and another. I said, and I buy all my stuff from you, which I do, my clothes. And they sent me a cheque for, I think it was £100, just to come and spend in the store. And I never thought no more of it. I just had it and pleased, and my foot, mine, it do show up now, but I am worried about it. But only to think that I wish I had told them about the order that I had. I just think, have they still got that in case book, like? But they did, they sent them all back.
Yes.
And they were right to send them back.
Yes.
They were terrible.
Yeah.
If I had bought them and seen that, I wouldn't have accepted it.
Yes. So, what did you do afterwards then?
I got married then.
And did you go back and work in a factory after that?
No.
No.
No. What did I do then? I was doing something all the time.
So did you say you got pictures from Cora? Have you did you keep in touch with the women you worked in with there?
Yeah, I got photos of them, not as such in the factory, but I got photos of them in a group of them there.
Yeah.
Together.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I went to Pentapark then, didn't I?
To where, sorry?
No, I got married then.
Yes.
And, of course, I got married. And I didn't do much then. No, my husband was working. He came home from the Merchant Navy when we got married, and he didn't go back, but he went underground. Because he couldn't... He'd either after gone back for National Service, or he could go underground. So he went underground. He was fully fledged carpenter. He'd done 5 years apprenticeship. That was when he finished at 18. And then he went underground with my dad and my brothers on the coal. And so we, in 53 we got married, and 56 then I had my first child. And then I had one in 2 years and the other one in 3 years. And in between that, my dad went in with a perforated bowel. He had to retire from the pit, and I nursed him back to health, and we made sort of a bed sitting room then, so that we wouldn't be the kids all that, to put everything in right.
Yeah.
And he was on oxygen all the time, on the cylinder of oxygen. So we'd done that then for 10 years.
So let me ask you, just to finish off the factory bit.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the time you spent working in the factories then? Was it all right?
Well, I was happy enough. But it's when you can see that something's going wrong. I'm still like that now, mine.
Yeah.
I do like fair play.
Yeah.
Mind what it is. Because that's what it hurt me with my own life this last 10 years. But that's another story.
Yeah.
But I do like... I wouldn't try to fob somebody to get money or pretend I'm less than that. It's just the way you brought up, I think. It's in you, distilled in you. Like they said on my thing when I left school, trustworthy. And that's all I am. And you can't change yourself. I mean, if you're saying something to hurt, I wouldn't hurt anybody, but you want the truth before anything else.
Yeah.
And that's what I stand by.
Are you still in touch with women from Cora now?
Yeah, I meet somebody all the time. Yeah, I bet she could enlighten me on a few things. A lot of them, yeah, and the Scar Factory. Yeah,
great.
I can't believe it.